Welcome to the Drunk to Who podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, what is this podcast about? What could people possibly know about this podcast that they don't know already?
Well, I don't know about that, but this is the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
Okay, cool.
And I know you set up the expectation that I was going to tell him something new. That's literally the thing I say every episode.
Well, I know. I just thought maybe you put something.
John, I don't like how this is going. We should get a mediator.
But, well, then how about we have one here? Now, let me call. Hello, Denise.
Hello.
Oh, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Can we? You know what? I just want to let you know you're on a recorded line.
Okay.
And anything you say will be used against you in a court of law.
Shit.
And, well, like court of public opinion.
Only a court of public opinion. Steve thinks that we're just going to be bitchy at each other the whole time. Could you, like, mediate?
Or would you rather be a third bitch?
You know, I am less of a bitch than you guys are.
Oh, yeah.
So I would like to witness and throw in the occasional sarcastic comment.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay. Well, then can we get a witness, please?
Indeed.
Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right. That's right. You were raised one of the Catholic people, so you don't have that automatic response. Can I get a witness? And you go, amen.
Nope, she says, Ave Maria.
And then she gets down on her knees. And it's like,
Hail
okay.
Mary. Hail Mary.
Anyway, that was a strange little tangent. Sorry. Sorry, well, Tori. Hopefully not a trigger for anybody out there.
It won't be the last strange little tangent.
I know, right? Well, today is episode 162 of the Drunk to Who podcast.
Ooh, and the number of games in a baseball season.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought for an hour.
And all interest.
It was like, oh, that's the number of Joe DiMaggio or something. You know, 162. I don't know. Sure. Isn't that how baseball works?
Sure.
You know, if somebody's number 62 and they die, they just add a one in front of the other one. And then when that one dies, then they become 262.
Yes, it is how some baseball players have six-figure jersey numbers.
Yes. Okay, cool.
It's all like, just made of numbers. Their entire jersey is just numbers sewn together.
And it's like James Bond, where, like, you know, it's like, so the guy, the name survives, and just someone else takes the place, right? Right.
There are a lot of Lou Gehrigs in baseball.
Yes, one every year.
But they keep dying off. But I'm bummed. What, too soon? Well, dang. Well, you know what? Today we're going to be talking about a very special occasion. Hence why we have our very special mediating guest here. It's the first episode for Jodie Whittaker's Doctor. Yay! First full episode, because Steve and I saw her appear at the end of the prior episode.
Briefly,
which was the Christmas episode where Peter Capaldi interacted with the first Doctor, not played by William Hartnell. Dr. Filch. Yes. And so that's what we're going to be seeing today. And Steve, it's called The Woman Who Fell to Earth. What could Jodie Whittaker's Doctor possibly play in this titled role?
Well, I know that the last episode ended with her literally falling to Earth, but I'm going to say this picks up after she's already landed on Earth and has established herself as a small town haberdasher. And then she goes on one, and because she, you know, fell on her head, she doesn't remember anything. So she starts making hats. And then she goes on one of her work holidays up in an air balloon and a hot air balloon ride. She won it maybe at the local, I don't know what, constabulary. I don't know. Won a trip and is up there, and she pops some champagne. The cork flies out, hits her in the head. She falls out of the hot air balloon, lands on her head again, and regains all her memories. It's cartoon logic.
So is it like every time she falls, something different happens? Is this going to be her, like, her gimmick every episode?
Well, no, John. It's just that if you get bonked on the head and lose your memories, you have to get bonked on the head again to regain your memories. It's just science.
Okay, that's of course it is. And does she pick up anyone along the way? What possible companion could there possibly be for this new doctor's iteration, Steve? Or do they call her Dr. Haberdasher?
No, that'd be ridiculous. I'm going to say that it's the hot air balloon driver and then the young woman that she falls on. Played by Matt Lucas in a wig.
He plays the young woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's very good.
He is very good.
I actually have no idea of who any of the companions are. But I knew about, I think Bill is the last one I know of. And then I've like seen pictures. So I know that there's various young people who show up, but I don't know anything about them.
Cool. Well,
so that's my answer, John.
People,
a hot Matt air Smith balloon driver and a passerby are going to be the companions.
And they're going to get into all kinds of shenanigans.
Oh, yes.
Sweet. Well, Denise, much of that is about to happen. I'm so sure. I know you're biting your tongue because you don't want to spoil all the.
No, I really enjoy the hot air balloon pyrotechnics. So I think Steve is really going to enjoy this episode.
Oh, yes.
Your sarcasm. Oh,
wait, did I spoil it?
Damn it, Denise. We've talked about this.
Denise, your sarcasm is running rather dry today.
Dry chasm.
Maybe we should wet our whistles.
Yes.
Maybe we should wet our whistles with our trademarked Drunk to Who shot of the episode. Steve, would you please provide the toast?
Candy gram for Mongo.
Candy gram for Mongo. Candy gram for Mongo.
Yep.
That's about one of the only few lines we can actually quote from that movie without getting in trouble.
Yeah. Blazing Saddles, one of my favorite movies. And one of, there used to be, you two know this obviously, but people listening might not, is there was a theater in Chicago that did the Brew and View, where you would pay like $5, go in, and you can buy beer and snacks and watch anywhere from 2 to 4 movies in one sitting. That's where we, John and I, saw Mad Max Fury Road. And also one of my favorite double features there, Heidi and I went and saw the Coen Brothers version of True Grit, immediately followed by Blazing Saddles.
Nice.
That's a great double feature.
It was such a great double feature.
Yeah. So, please, we're about to watch an episode of Doctor Who. We're going to watch the first episode of Series 11,
wow,
starring Jodie Whittaker and maybe a balloonist.
Oh, I should have chosen a quote from Attack the Block.
Oh, that would have been nice.
She was in that.
Clever.
I really want to revisit that movie. Anyway.
Yeah, we can. You know, maybe we can do that on one of our not intermediaries. What do we call it?
John, we have interventions and we have relapses. Interventions are when we look back on the season, and then relapses is where we like...
watch an old episode.
Watch old stories.
Maybe we could just make it something tangential.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Because, like, you know, again, we're
going to watch a season of Broadchurch.
We've got about, like, we've got about 26 or 27 episodes now until, like, we catch up to Doctor Who.
That's so weird.
We'll have to start treading water and, like, maybe looking for some new things. So feel free. Hey, you know what? Hey, listeners, maybe write in. Let us know. How can people write in, Steve?
Oh, they can email drunktowho@gmail.com, or they can reach out to Drunk to Who on Twitter, or SR Dolan, which is my Twitter account, or Denise, what's yours?
Nope.
Okay.
So write to Nope and tell Nope that, or let, you know, or one of the other ones.
Tell the Nope Twitter account that you're really looking at Jordan Peele's new movie.
that's very cool. Yeah. But, or like, you know, hey, give us some ideas. You know, what would you like to see us to do? And, you know, we've had some ideas of what we're going to, like, you know, do in the off season kind of thing, sort of stuff.
I don't know what happens when we catch up to where Doctor Who is.
Oh, Denise, briefly, what do you think about Shuri Gatwa?
I don't know a damn thing about him, but he is not hard on the eye.
I know, right?
Yep.
No, honestly, I know, like, you know, on the show that they you know, that he's worked on with Russell T. Davies, who's the returning showrunner, he plays gay. I'm trying to really see if he actually is or not, you know, because, like, you know, people are saying, it's like, oh, he's breaking barriers in more ways than one. You know, one, because another Scottish actor playing in Doctor Who, geez.
Of course.
I know, right?
Talk, like, about tokens.
I know, seriously. But, like, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if he's actually a gay actor, which would, you know, delight me. But I think, like, oh, Steve and I, we watched an episode that where Adric dies at the end. That was our last one. And the actor who plays Adric turns out to be gay. I'm like, oh, you go, girlfriend. I'm saying girlfriend too much because I've had some booze. So, hey, before I like drag this out too much, let's watch an episode of, I know, I'm sorry. Let's watch an episode of Doctor Who. You know, so I'll see you guys in roughly an hour. The rest of you, you'll hear us probably after a brief sound effect, right?
Yes, just like every other episode. I mean,
bye.
Okay, bye. Well, bye, unless you're a Patreon episode, and then you'll still like hear us after a brief interlude.
Patreon is not a thing for us.
I just wanted to see Steve Eyes go, oh, Jesus, again?
Yes.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Welcome back. We watched an episode of Doctor Who. Denise did. She's waving at me happily.
I assume she was waving at both of us, John.
Steve is, no, she's waving at me, Steve.
I was waving on a podcast. I know that's cool.
And Steve is just kind of like, oh yeah, I'm just here. I don't know what's going on.
So that's the same as normal.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So, hey, Steve, what happened? What happened today? Since this is your first time seeing this show, this particular episode show.
Yes, I was going to say this show. I've seen like 150 plus episodes. So this episode started with a guy doing like a YouTube vlog, just talking about this most amazing woman he'd ever met, and she was amazing, and she was smart and delightful, and we all assume he's talking about Grandma. The doctor.
Oh. Well, I ended up talking about Grandma, but it was a big old
yes. By the end, I knew he was talking about Grandma. In fact, the second he started talking about her in the end, at the end when they go back to this, and I was reminded about it, I knew he was talking about Grandma. But at the beginning, I thought he was talking about the doctor.
Talking about me now.
Yeah.
And so then it goes to him. He says, like, and I can't ride a bike because you all know why. And I'm like, well, this is a weird choice, although not as weird of a choice as to practice riding a bike on top of a mountain and taking a train there, but whatever.
Do they make clear what his issue is? I know he has a coordination issue,
dyspraxia,
but they didn't actually
I don't remember because, you know, privilege, medical privilege.
Yes,
I'm pretty sure it was dyspraxia. Yes. And it's like, yeah, it's a dyspraxia balance issue.
Yeah.
He has a balance issue. Yeah. He's 19, he said, I think.
Yes, he is.
And yeah, he's got a balance issue. And his grand Grace and his grandpa, Graham.
His step-Graham.
Graham.
Yeah.
Not granddad, Graham.
Right, granddad, exactly.
Yeah. I called him, in my head, step-Graham.
Oh, I like that. I hadn't thought of that.
But yeah, they're trying to help him ride a bike, and they're both so like excited for him to do this. And I'm again like, why are you on top of a fucking mountain range or like some big hills or whatever? And he falls and he gets pissed and he throws the bike over the edge of the little mountain thing. They're halfway between hills and mountains. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely a toxic masculinity moment.
I was still like shocked. Like, you know, again, he went to go look for it, you know, while Grace and Graham are just kind of like, when's he going to start calling me granddad? And she goes, just give it time, love.
It's only been 3 years.
Give me some of that sugar. They were all about making out. But like, so
they were
what?
So cute.
Yeah.
But what, when Ryan like went to expect to find his bike in one piece, you know, but instead he finds a giant Hershey's Kiss. Oh no, wait, first he finds some electric things in the air.
A big square.
Yeah. I do like Denise's point about toxic masculinity. Like if he had been in his bedroom, he would have totally punched the wall.
Yeah.
But instead he threw the bike over the ridge. But yeah, he sees some weird.
I mean, you got to feel sorry for the kid, but come on.
But like, does
let's
he
use
have,
our words.
Does he have to ride a bike? Like riding a bike is not a necessary skill, but anyway, right.
Maybe it's on his bucket list.
Yeah. So
maybe it was on Graham's bucket list. Like before I die of cancer again, I want my step grandson to like, you know, ride a bicycle.
Maybe. So,
spoilers, Graham's got cancer.
He sees some weird Captain EO fucking effects, some glowing, lights in the sky or in the
front. And has to touch it.
Of course. I don't know if I would have too. I've never been in the woods and seen strange lights. I've been in the woods and found Playboys, but I was a kid. You know, it was the '80s. Don't blame me.
Did you touch them?
Oh, I brought them home. What are you, nuts?
Oh, then you would have definitely touched them.
Were they sticky?
No. I would not have brought home sticky porn. Ew.
Were they crunchy? I mean, I you know, sticky maybe, but crunchy means they at least they dried.
No.
Sticky means like you're looking out for the guys who just dropped them there.
Recent.
Where the fuck were we?
So Ryan's in
the... Touching the light.
Yeah, Ryan, Ryan touches the light, and then suddenly a giant Hershey's Kiss appears.
I wrote down, or not wrote down, but I thought a mutant Hershey's Kiss myself.
Yeah. It looked kind of like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, him being the good guy he is, he calls the cops.
But it made me think that because Graham and his Nan, Graham and Nan, they were like, oh, you know what? Last train is in 20 minutes. And I'm like, well, he clearly missed this train because he's in the woods and all of a sudden it's dark. But also, like, again, why did they take the train with his bike to a mountain or a ridge to fucking teach him? Why can't, like, are there no sidewalks anywhere?
He also fell a lot, and they were in high grass.
Are there no parks
where
they live?
Not in Sheffield, apparently. They have a lot of steel in Sheffield and cranes and shawarma restaurants, I assume.
Yeah.
So then we meet Yaz, and Yaz, like, she's like police trainee, and she's kind of like, oi, the two of you make up, or I'm going to, like, you know, cut your baby in half. And they're like, oh, fine, we'll make up.
And you can really see the difference between British police and American police in this episode, and in Yaz as a police officer, like trying to, you know, hey, let's just stop and talk it out.
Let's not.
And she's calling, wanting harder responses, harder accomplishments. You know, she wants.
Oh yeah. Cases. She had these two annoying, like suburban moms who were physically damaging each other's car over parking spaces.
Yeah.
I live in Chicago, as does John. Like, I have to find street parking near my job all the time. I have never been moved to violence over the parking space.
Did you think about it though?
Only the one time, because there was a guy who was purposely driving as slow as possible just to annoy me. He was right in front of me. Like, he was literally going 5 miles an hour.
Nice.
That may be a thing here. I live in Arvada, Colorado, and I think if I parked in front of my neighbor's house, they would have a huge problem with it. Luckily there's enough parking that I don't have to park in front of anyone's house,
but I've been to your you know, neighborhood and stuff. There's plenty of parking,
and there's plenty of parking. So yes,
if I parked in front of one of your neighbor's houses, they'd, like, even though they didn't need it, they might key me or something.
I don't think they would take a hammer to your windshield, but but I think it's gauche. I think it would be tacky. I think it would be not okay to park in front of that house.
Look at the Colorado way.
Look at John bragging about, like, Denise inviting him to visit. Fine.
Fuck you. You were invited. You did not come.
Well, so then, Yaz is like, you know, I want something challenging. And her, like, you know, her mentor is like, well, here's something challenging, something weird. And then she, like, meets up with Ryan in the woods. And then it turns out Ryan and Yaz knew each other from grade school.
And he's only 19 and she's already a cop. And they, like, graduated from high school a year ago. Like, she should have more training.
She could, well, but dude, she's training.
Well, that's why she's getting parking issue.
I guess. Maybe cases. She was a year ahead of him. I don't know. But it still felt like,
She's still young. She's super young.
True. And then we cut to Graham and Grace on the train, and they're like, num 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 num, and like this, like, guy, like
Carl
is kind of like, oh, that's cute. And they're like, he can't keep his hands out of me, and like he's like, oh, too much
phrasing,
too much information. God.
Phrasing.
Wait. Oh, did I say out of me?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my bad. They're newlyweds, you know.
Off of me, and they've been married 3 years.
Off of me. Oh, my bad. Yeah. Oh, and, like, you know, and then, like, the train just starts. Then suddenly something falls from the sky into the train. And then the train is, like, full of tentacles and stuff.
Electric spaghetti.
Yes, and all the lights go out. And,
I like electric spaghetti, yes.
Yeah. So yeah, and that's kind of like slowly moving back towards them on the train, and it's like basically it was the two that we've already met, and then there's random young dude named Carl, who I assumed that he was going to get totally murdered. I assumed he was going to be the guy in the horror movies, yeah, like where like Michael Myers demonstrates how dangerous he is by just killing a stranger. But no, all three of them ended up living, because when they're in the middle of it, like the doctor just drops through the fucking ceiling.
You mean she fell to earth?
Yes.
As well, a woman?
She fell to train.
She fell to floor.
Yeah,
because she was in the train.
You know what's funny though? I'm like watching it. Like, okay, Carl did not appear to be companion worthy.
No, he made me think of British Paul Dano.
Okay, well, if you know, well, Paul Dano cleans up a little better. They made this guy look like a big old mess. You know, where it's kind of like
he looked like a normal dude.
Yeah. Now, Steve, now that you know who are going to be traveling, who did you think from like the people we met? We met Carl, Grace, Graham, Ryan, and Yaz. Who did you think were going to end up being traveling with the doctor?
Oh, instantly, I thought it was Ryan and Yaz. As soon as they were like, we know each other, I'm like, okay, so they're they're old friends.
The young they people.
Possibly going to be romantic partners. And like Amy and Rory, like, okay, you clearly are laughing because you know things that I don't.
But sorry.
That's where my heteronormative brain went.
Ryan just looks so much like his grandmother. I'm kidding.
So that's where I went immediately. And then obviously later on, as soon we'll talk about it later, but as soon as they like rigged this thing up in a warehouse at the very last scene, I was like, oh shit, all three of them are gonna go. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. So on the train, like, you know, it's like, you know, Grace and Graham. Grace, Graham, and the other guy,
yeah,
Carl, are like, you know, they're like, Carl, oh, you know, people have gotten off the train, but now we're stuck on here. Carl, that's how I remember. and then something tentacle creature shows up, and tentacle creature's like, I'm here for you. Doctor plops in there. Doctor zaps it, does stuff, and she goes,
it looks like she stabbed him with an iron fence post or something.
Well, it fell through the, you know, it's like an electrical cord or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stunned it, and then like, yeah, Ryan and Yaz show up because they had heard like, hey, Gran, where are you? I'm on the train, and they're like, doo 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 doo, getting on the train.
Did they have a song? I don't remember a song.
Well, yes. Let's just say they had a song.
It went doo 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 doo, getting on the train.
Denise knows it.
Wow. Welcome back. Oh, that's from something that was going to be edited out, but now I might have to make it the outtake because I referenced
it. We had an entire conversation about 70s shows theme songs that you missed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, then the doctor's like, oh, you know, sees like the train conductor died of fright after the
tentacle. Which was weird. And,
yeah. Well, because then the tentacle. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It was weird, and it made me think, well, maybe just like have a heart attack, because died of fright sounds like some Amidala bullshit of dying of a broken heart. It just doesn't seem like a real thing.
Are you saying that Natalie Portman did not portray that well enough, Steve?
For
you?
No, I'm saying George Lucas is not a great screenwriter, and he needs to have someone who's... I'm saying that George Lucas is just like, in my opinion, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, when they were butting heads against someone that they respected, they made great art. But when they went on their own and had no one to say no to them, things fell apart. Wings. Yes, you have wings. I'm saying like George.
And Imagine, which is like the worst song ever.
Lucas needed someone who he respected to say no to him, or to say like, well, maybe not. So anyway.
Yeah.
Chris Chibnall will, I'm sure, be perfect.
Oh, yes. Well, then, like, you know, the doctor meets the little tentacled creature, and then the tentacled creature, like, it gets stunned, then it wakes up, and, like, then it, like, goes zappy zap, and then it just disappears. And, like, what the fuck was that? And then they go away, and then, yeah.
They end up back at, they go to try to find the mutant Hershey's Kiss, but it is actually missing. And then we follow that in a moving van with some dude named Rahul and a friend of his who he bribes to go away because Rahul knows what's going to happen. Yeah. And all of a sudden, fucking Mork comes out of the Hershey's Kiss.
Yeah.
Nanner, nanner.
Yeah. And it's like, I was like, totally like, how does like Raul know that this guy, that this thing was there? But like, yeah, they explained it later-ish. Yeah.
Kind of enough.
Electrical history.
They explained it enough.
Yeah. So yeah. So then like, you know, he's waiting. And then like they it's like the doctor's like, hey, you go find out what the stuff is. And it's like, I'll check the bus depot and I'll go and look at the internet and I'll call
the nurses.
Right. I'll call the nurses and it's like, I'll talk to the cops. And it's like, so they all come, but then the doctor passes out, they take her home, and she's covered in Regenergy.
Which some of it left her breath and went towards Ryan. And I thought, oh, this is going to fix his weird like balance condition.
Oh, magic regeneration.
Well, no, I just assumed that it was going to regenerate him in some way.
Yeah.
And since they established that he had a physical issue, that this Regenergy would fix him, just like I would love Regenergy to come and fix my allergies so I could actually pet a dog.
Well, I was trying to like remember, like, I was thinking like maybe that little like Regenergy went off and like they knew to find the doctor from that, but like no, nothing happened from that. That was like
it just went off, and like I honestly expected it because they established him. Like I said, they established him having an issue. I assumed the Regenergy would fix it. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, they all end up back at like, you know, Graham and Grace's HQ. The doctor wakes up and she goes, oh, hey, everyone's got a DNA bond on them. Like, really? Oh, shit. What? Ryan, give me your phone. And Ryan, she's like, okay, I've reformatted. Ryan's like, no, my porn.
Well, no, they established that Ryan was really into social media. And they wiped out his pictures and whatever. And I'm like, dude, you probably just have an iCloud backup, you know?
Right?
Possibly, but you know, you might want to have a different login for that, but that's difficult when on a mobile device, on iOS.
Incognito.
I don't know.
You might want to touch that with a pair of gloves or something.
Yeah. So yeah, she totally hijacks his phone. And they basically are convinced that she's an alien because she's just fucking lying on the couch and glowing. They were prone to believe her.
And had two pulses.
Yes. And she could not remember who she was.
She's like, I need to be sleeping more. Doctor.
Yeah. She's like, I'm in clothes that are too big for me and were made for a man. And I'm glowing and I don't know who I am.
And she's like, an hour ago, I was a gray-haired Scotsman.
Yes.
And they're like, girl, you crazy. So now they're looking for they're tracking and stuff, and they end up at the metalwork where like Rahul was. And remember, like when the egg cracked, when the mutant kiss cracked and a thing came out, he's like, where's and Rahul's like, where's my sister? And it's like, you'll never see your sister. Give me your teeth. And like kills him and like takes his teeth, a tooth.
That was the best mask. I love that mask. It had no relevance. It was just like a network of spaces.
So yeah, it reminded me, the teeth thing reminded me, there's a movie on Shudder there's a movie on Shudder and I don't remember the name, but it's just a monster that is made entirely of teeth, human teeth.
Gross.
That's the point. It's a horror network. But this creature had a bunch of teeth embedded in him, but it was just like, I wanted
even grosser.
I wanted fucking variety. Like I wanted like a tiger fang or something. Like they were all vaguely humanoid teeth.
Well,
yeah. Were there any molars?
I don't know.
But it was also kind of established that, you know, this guy was being sent here to prove his worth by going on a hunt, but he also cheated like a little bitch. So he probably like, these are all like little, I'm not saying weaklings, but like, you know, in comparison, a human or humanoid might be a lot easier to catch and grab teeth from. So
true.
Fuck, that was gross. That was,
it was a cool effect, but I would have appreciated some like alien teeth because he didn't just come to Earth and like hunt somebody, because this was, it was implied that it was his turn to come to Earth and hunt someone. So like, I wanted, I don't know, fucking, it's too much like Predator to me, that something that comes to Earth and hunts something.
But anyway, so like at the metalworks place, the alien kills Rahul, goes out, and like the doctor and the Scooby crew show up, and it's like, oh, this is where it is. And the alien comes out and it's like, alien, oi, stop. And then the alien goes and the doctor starts chasing, and they're like, wait, why are you chasing after the alien?
Yeah. Huh?
Graham's the only one with sense. Graham's the only one going, dude, why what are you doing?
The alien? That's just wrong.
It's like, don't run toward danger.
Yeah. And they go in the factory thing and they find, like, you know, Rahul's dead body. And she's like, oh, I'm going to make a new Sonic while everyone else investigates.
And just saying, like, you know, it looked like he had a Windows-based computer, but at least had QuickTime installed on it.
Uh-huh.
Judging by the interface.
And no, I was thinking, like, I wonder if he's got a password. How are they going to break into it?
Yeah, is leave like me alone, Denise.
Is, like, Ryan going to be, like, some sort of, like, you know, a computer cracker or something? But, like, no, it was just a thing.
That's what they're called, computer crackers.
Just click the button.
Yeah.
Computer crackers, just like John said.
Yeah, click here when I'm dead. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can just not have a password for your local user account.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah. So then the guy, like, you know, so they go in there and, like, you know, doctor makes a new Sonic. They find out that Rahul's sister had been captured by this, had been, like, disappeared after he touched some sort of, like, thing. And, like, basically he caused his sister to get kidnapped. And then
don't touch the alien shit.
Yeah, man. Don't touch the alien shit. But, like,
glowing lights.
Go ahead.
You see glowing lights. You don't go fucking touch them. What are you, men?
Like John and I talked about last week with Creepshow, where Stephen King's character touched the meteor shit. You don't touch things that fall from the sky.
Right.
But yeah, the new Sonic screwdriver, or the Sonic Swiss Army knife, which I believe I've called it a Swiss Army knife before.
Without a knife, because that's stupid. People carry knives.
But it looked more like a model of the ship from Firefly. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay.
And I think there are some, like, I forget whose lightsaber is shaped like that, but there is one shaped more like that.
Oh, isn't it Rey's lightsaber? Because it looks more homemade-y. I think it might be.
But the curve in it, it might be. I don't remember whose. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, this is made out of Sheffield steel, which I'm sure, like, people from Sheffield, like, oi, 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 Sheffield steel, oi, oi, oi. And then, like, you know, knocked down a soccer stadium.
I feel like they tried to give her a new screwdriver. And, I mean, everybody gets a new screwdriver. I know that. But hers is, like, not phallic shaped. It's got, like, this little sort of wavy curvy thing to it. I mean, it is phallic shaped, I get it, but you know, they tried to really embed in that thought that, you know, this isn't my penis right here.
Yeah, I was just trying to say, like, I've seen, like, organic, but, like, more ergonomic.
Yeah, ergonomic. Yeah,
just like it looks like it fits into her hand.
Yeah,
better.
So while doing,
I've had vibrators like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I was actually thinking it looked kind of like a vibrator, but, you know, yeah, it was almost like curve for her pleasure. So, you know, okay. But, like, so, you know, while they're back at the metalworks place, while the doctor's doing work and they're looking at videos of dead Rahul, then, like, some guy's walking through an alley, like, throwing pieces of vegetables out. I'm like, dude, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
tomatoes.
And then, like, some, like, guy doing cosplay walks up and he's like, oi, what are you doing here? Like, throwing vegetables at him.
He's like, have my salad.
Did he not deserve to die? No.
No, he was just a drunk douche on the street.
Yeah, Shroomer guy died.
Drunk douche, they hated vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, the lightsaber, I was thinking it was Count Dooku's.
Okay.
I know you don't remember what it looks like, but it was curved.
Nope.
Whatever.
Nope. Okay.
Yeah, nope. That was Christopher Lee's character.
It was bugging me.
Okay, well, that's cool.
Okay, well, thank you for looking it up.
You're welcome, Denise.
Our fans can now, like, rest.
We'll stick with the Denise's it looks like a vibrator I've had.
Well, so they all have, like, the DNA bombs, and all the doctors, like, now I've got my Sonic Swiss Army knife, and they go find the little tentacle thing, which is, like, you know, up on a thing broadcasting, because, like, Graham's buddies, the bus drivers, are like, oi, we found something, and Graham's like, told you the bus drivers would help, ha ha ha. And Ryan's like, Ryan does the Denise thing of rolling his eyes.
Well, I think before this, doesn't Jodie Whittaker's doctor find the tentacle thing and realize it's just essentially like a data storage unit? And
well, that's yeah. where they do find it.
Yeah, it does. It, and she says it has a file on Carl from the train.
Yeah.
And so later on, when they decide, they realize that he's going to kill a human. We realize, oh yeah, obviously he's going to kill Carl because he's a randomly selected human that was there.
Right. Right.
Well, they found the ball thing, which is like had been like broadcasting stuff. They knock it out. She finds that out, and like then you know finds out it's Carl because like you know then Tim Shaw shows up.
I did enjoy that exchange on the show.
Tim Shaw. So then Tim Shaw shows up and he's like, I'm the future leader. I've come here to kill someone or like bring them back to my planet. And she's like, that's not cool. He's like, yeah, I'm here without weapons and stuff. She goes, wait, this is from you though. And he's like, nothing to see here. So basically, he's a cheating motherfucker because this thing found the dude he's supposed to hunt and then planted bombs in like the doctor and stuff and like, you know, her friends. And then like Tim Shaw goes and like downloads everything from like, you know, the organic snaky thing. And he's like, haha, I know what to do now. And then,
he starts climbing the crane where Carl is working, and we find out that Carl, like, and the doctor splits all her little buddies up, the doctor crew, and
clear out the metal place or clear out the docks.
Yeah, the you know Graham and the grandma have Grace. To like clear out all the people, Grace. And then Yaz and Ryan have to climb up because, of course, they're going to be good with heights. Because, and we're like, but he has a balance issue.
Right?
Make him climb a ladder by himself. It's cool. Yep.
But he's willing to do it because he's that tough.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Or maybe that's the part of the toxic masculinity. Like, you can't question me.
I was going to call that back. Yeah.
they climb up to a crane that's opposite the Carl's crane, and in the meantime that the alien dude who looks a little like the alien from Psycho Goreman is climbing up the side of the crane. I know neither of you know that reference, and that's cool. And so it takes him forever to climb the fucking thing, and once he climbs it takes him forever to crawl along it.
Oh yeah,
I do want to say here at this point, I enjoyed his self-affirmation tapes. The I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and gosh darn it, people like me kind of thing. Yeah. And he keeps repeating to himself. Sometimes I feel like maybe I should start doing that. When in serious situations of danger going, people like me.
I know it wasn't Jack Handy. What was the character that...
Stuart Smalley.
Stuart Smalley.
Like, I remember when he did it for Michael Jordan. And it's like Michael Jordan, one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the universe, is like, I think I'm good enough. It's like, yeah, you are.
I'll keep your Michael. I'll keep your anonymity. You're Michael J. Yeah. But yeah, so it's like, Tim Shaw is like taking forever to climb that thing. In the meantime, the doctor and like everyone else, you know, they like, they're like, I don't know, just they're having a cup of tea. They're having cookies and little cucumber sandwiches. It's like, we should plan. Let's plan something out. And they still get up there before Tim Shaw does.
Well, there was a point where the doctor says, I don't know, give me 9 minutes and I'll have a plan. And I actually looked. And when she tells them,
there's about 9 minutes
when she tells them to, like, you clear out all the civilians and you two others climb up the thing. It was around 9 minutes after that.
Oh, that's awesome.
She still says, like, oh, I'm making this shit up as I go along. So it wasn't like a concrete, I will solve the situation. But it was like, it was around the right time.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they get up, like, there's like a Carl notices, like, this dude climbing up there. And then, you know, the doctor's like, hey, turn it over here and jump over. And, like, he's like, oh, yeah. So they're, like, at another, and she's like, you got to jump across. And then, like, you know, Carl's like, I'm afraid of heights. She goes, the fuck?
It's like, well, my dad owns the place.
All right, I'm good enough. Right. To jump. And then he jumps, but he gets grabbed by Tim Shaw. And the doctor's like, well, I'm going to jump across. And everyone goes, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Becky.
So, yeah. Not only do we have toxic masculinity, but we have Carl being the product of generational wealth.
Yes, oh, true.
Okay.
True. And sorry.
True. But yeah, this is very anti-capitalism.
Oh, which everybody should be. So the doctor like goes back, runs and jumps and barely holds on. And she's like, these legs are shorter than they were a minute ago. Or she makes a reference to Peter Capaldi being a tall game.
These used to be longer, I think.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, like, you know, like Grace and the grandma, they're doing their shit. Like Grace, like, is it wrong to be enjoying this? And Graham's like, yes. And she's like, I'm so going to fuck you later.
Yeah. Right? She's having a good
Grace
time.
Grace is a Randy Graham. Oh, Randy Graham. Yeah.
But yeah, also she totally is. Adventurous. She's having a great fucking time. Yeah. It's almost like she doesn't want to just hang out at the senior center.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Well, and then the doctor, like, you know, she confronts some Shaw and she's like, let him go. I've got your thing here that you need to get back to. Ha ha. He's like, well, I'm going to blow up your friend. She goes, you blow up my friends. I'm going to throw the thing.
Yeah. Yes. I'm going to throw the thing that brings you back, lets you go back to your planet.
Yeah. And he's like, ha ha, I'm going to do it anyway. And then he's like, what's going on?
Somehow she took the DNA bombs out of everybody's collarbone and injected them into him
into the snake thing.
Oh, into the tentacle.
Because the tentacle thing put the bombs in them. So she basically put them back into the tentacle thing. And she's like, oh, you're here to download everything. Because actually, I was paying attention this time. She goes, you've downloaded everything. Then, so it was like, oh, later. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. And so, so now he's like, going to DNA bomb himself unless he goes back and she's like, here, catch this. And he's like, all right, fine. And then Carl's like, I've got balls. I'm good enough. I'm going to kick you off. And
she scolded him at that. I'm like, what the fuck?
You had no right to do that. You had no right to do
but
that.
Why not? His life was in danger and he was helping. Like, I saw nothing wrong with what he did.
But they won.
The doctor's such a... calls him slash herself peace loving and gives so many people second chances.
Yeah.
And some people like Tim Shaw need to be canceled. I'm sorry.
Dude, a dude who is covered in, a guy who was covered in human teeth probably is not going to have a redemption arc.
Yeah.
Right?
So right. I don't see why. Yeah, I don't see why the doctor could like shame Kirk
Carl.
Shame Carl, thank you, from like defending himself.
Right. But then, so Zim Shah was like basically defeated and then Carl kicked him off. And then on his way down, Zim Shah, zapped out of there. And, you know, but then, like, you know, Grace is like, I'm going to zap the little smarty tentacle thing. Yeah. And then I said, and it's like, you don't need to do that, Grace. And Grace did it anyway. And then it exploded and Grace fell. Grace.
And Grace fell like 20 feet onto her head and was like, ooh, I hurt, but I'm going to have a few words before I die.
Yeah.
Words of love.
Three glorious years with Graham.
I miss Grace.
Grace was cool. Awesome.
She was.
She was ballsy. It's like, I was a little emotional.
She'd be a great companion. She would have been a great companion.
Yeah, she would have been. So, so then like we cut and it's like, you know, then it looks like time's passing and they're having a funeral service for Grace. And, you know, Ryan's dad hasn't showed up. It's like, oh, it was his mom. Why isn't he here? And so I wonder if that'll pay off later, maybe. And then Graham said some really things. It's like, I only had 3 years. I wish it was longer. She should be here, not me. And the doctor's like, wait, why'd you say that? Cancer.
Yeah. That's how they met, is she was his nurse.
Cancer.
His nurse. Yeah. But
I don't know what, John, I don't know what you mean, because Ryan was at the funeral.
No. He was waiting for someone to show up, and it was
dad, right?
Yeah, his dad.
Oh, that's right. Sorry,
that's okay.
That's right. Because his dad's a dirtbag, and it's Grace was his dad's mom, and his dad wouldn't even.
Yes.
All right, you're right. Yeah. Right. Never mind.
Yeah, because then we like, you know, then because I think after this we cut to like, you know, when Ryan was talking on his YouTube channel, and he's like, the greatest woman I've ever known. Me nan.
Yes.
It's like me mom me died nan. 6 years ago and me nan has been raising me since to make me the man I am today, sort of thing. So you know, so yeah, he's basically been parentless, you know, for a while because his dad's apparently a piece of crap.
Yeah.
But then, so, yeah.
My question is, yeah, the suggested YouTube views onto the YouTube videos on the
site. Oh, my God.
Those were terrible.
How many people do you think have made, like, YouTube accounts or just web pages dedicated to those?
I don't know. They were all like, you know, how to blog and, like,
how to make money while blogging.
Right. And, like, someone had, like, 149,000 views or something. And, like, you know, Ryan had 17, whatever it was. It was kind of like, whatevs.
So, yeah, then we go and we find out that, we're outside the church and they tell the doctor, like, you really need, before you do anything else, you need to change clothes. And then they go to, like, a store and she gets her doctor outfit, which is what I remember her in.
Yes, that is her, that is her outfit. And
I love that coat. I love that coat.
It's a cool coat.
Yeah, it's a good outfit.
About the rainbow suspenders and the floods.
The pants are so, the short pants. Like, yeah. I get it. I appreciate it. I think those suspenders cut her right across the boob, which is probably fairly uncomfortable. But that coat is amazing.
Yeah. No, she looks great. And it's like, you know, I was kind of wanting a montage where she comes out and she looks like the third doctor or something. No, not right.
Yeah.
Or she comes out looking like Romana or something, you know.
Like David Tennant had. He had, when his little dress up thing, he had the scarf and he had that.
I thought that was Matt Smith.
I don't know. David Tennant did it.
I thought Matt Smith had I tried on a bunch of different types of clothes while in like the locker room at a hospital.
The hospital.
Yeah. And that's how he settled on the bow tie. And that's where he tried on the scarf and other things. Oh, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, I think that might have been.
Yeah, no.
They all have the thing where they like reference explicitly past selves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw like there was another like thing where Ryan's like, I'm doing this for me grand. And he goes back on the mountaintop to like, you know, ride the bicycle and he fails miserably again.
Oh, over and over.
Yeah. The doctor's still wearing her old outfit and she's like, freak. And then like they go back. Now the doctor's wearing her hot new outfit and she's like, I've got to go find me TARDIS.
Oh, and that's like, right.
Help me with, you know, and they go back to that metal workshop where Rahul died. And apparently it's okay for them to keep going back. Did they just put him on ice or what?
I don't know.
No, at least days, if not weeks later.
Maybe Rahul paid the rent for the entire month. And, you know,
it's like,
just, okay. Good point.
Yeah.
But, they just but there's no police tape or anything. You know, I mean, Yaz is still a cop. I don't know.
Yaz was a traffic cop.
Did she just like hide the body again? It's England, who knows? So no, it's like she's like, oh, I've got
to, maybe, you know, Graham ate the body. You don't know how hungry he was. His wife died. He's got to feed himself now all of a sudden.
His wife died. So it's like I have to revert to my cannibalistic ways. I am a chud. A cannibalistic. I remember
being single and being a chud was a very viable option.
Very viable. So, and then like, you know, the doctor's like, help me out with this thing. I'm going to go find my stuff. And like, I'm going to travel with a different planet using the technology that was in the mutant kiss.
Some weird transporter thing.
Right. Where like they were using, she was using the technology from the mutant kiss thing that like Tim Shaw came in and they're like, okay, see ya. She goes, yeah, because I don't need to take you with me. They're like, we don't want to go. That's okay. That's cool. And it's like, and all of a sudden she's like, okay, ding. And then all four of them disappear. End up where, Steve?
Well, in the middle of space. And it was kind of obvious as soon as she's like, okay, well, it's only going to transport me. And I'm like, oh,
nice knowing you guys. Yeah,
right. These three are the new companions.
They've lined them all up right nice.
Two young people and an old dude. They're all the new companions, huh? And they end up like just floating in space, and I hope they get saved soon because, you know, it's not a sustainable environment to hang out in.
It's like everyone deep breath. Well, I'm gonna deep breath and like, not you, Ryan, you don't have to, but good thing he did.
Well, I think if you're in space, you're supposed to exhale because the oxygen in your lungs will expand and explode and hurt you.
Yeah, don't explode.
You know, I'm planning for contingencies.
Did you cut off at that point then, Steve?
To be blunt, to be honest, no, I didn't.
You happen to see?
I watched because it didn't say next on it. All it did was show like a bunch of fucking actors who were going to be guests for this season. And all I recognized was Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. And Chris Noth from fucking Law and Order and Sex and the City.
Oh yeah,
and Alan Cumming.
What?
I love Alan Cumming.
We're gonna see Alan Cumming. Yeah.
But also Brett Goldstein, who has apparently a very successful podcast about like movies for life, I think. But also he's Roy Kent on Ted Lasso.
Cool.
Roy Kent.
He's here. He's there.
Roy Kent.
This growly bastard of a guy who, if his like 4-year old niece will play do tea sets with him, he'll like melt.
So I guess we will see more episodes of this show in the future.
Yes, that's,
you know,
that's
they're not gonna die in space.
Although wouldn't it be awesome if like the three humans just died in space and it was just the Doctor finding new companions? What if there was a season of Doctor Who where they had new companions every goddamn episode and they kept dying afterwards? There's Spinal Tap drummers or Defense Against the Dark Arts teachers.
The Love TARDIS, bring in a different guest star every show.
There you go, John with a contemporary reverence.
Yeah. Oh, hey, look, you're my new companion, Graham Norton. I'm trying to think of another person who's like from England that we know. All right, Steve, what did you think of this episode then?
I liked it. It was a little long, but from what I understand, all the episodes of this season are going to be a little long.
Okay.
Also, I've been watching season 4 of Stranger Things, so, you know, it's actually short compared to those. I liked it. It's always weird the first episode after regeneration because they have to do the whole I don't remember who I am, I don't remember anything kind of things. Right. And it was novel when it was the first one where it was fucking David Tennant losing a hand. Rose's mom being there and
Mickey.
Yeah.
And Mickey. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I want to see more episodes of her as the Doctor, because there was definitely kind of a different energy than Peter Capaldi and Matt Smith, who are both kind of like a lower energy. Peter Capaldi is now in between the two. His level of energy is between Matt Smith and Jodie Whittaker, or I would equate Jodie Whittaker with David Tennant's. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I'm intrigued about hearing more about these companions because it's going to be interesting to see like a Graham who is in mourning and still trying to reconnect with the grandson who won't call him granddad only thinks of him as Graham. It's going to be interesting to see them play out as companions along with Yaz, who's kind of just
like Yaz,
going to be a really young cop. So.
She seems very no nonsense to me.
Yes.
I interested in her. Yeah.
Denise, your rewatch. What did you feel? How do you feel?
I miss Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Peter Capaldi. Obviously these things have to end. I like her. I think that she tries to renew the energy that Matt Smith or even David Tennant had. I think that she's got that sort of wonder, that childlike wonder kind of thing back that Peter Capaldi didn't have, which I also appreciated. I think there are good things in store. It's different though. So,
now, Steve, also this is like we have a new showrunner.
Yeah.
In Chris Chibnall. Did this have a different energy feel to like, you know, or are you still want to like, you know, did you want to like, you know, gather more info as we go?
I think I need to gather more info because it definitely felt like other Doctor Who we've seen. There was nothing. Yes. It was weird to see her make the sonic screwdriver. I've never thought about where sonic screwdrivers come from before. And I always kind of assumed that they were like when the TARDIS is redesigning itself, it also kind of like spits out the sonic screwdriver.
Right.
Literally.
It's forged from space and time, not Sheffield steel.
Not made for, not made in a fucking like warehouse in Sheffield. Like what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I just. Yeah. that felt off to me. Like that totally could have been, I guess they had to create a sonic screwdriver without making the TARDIS there. But could it have just been one of the things that was in her pockets? You know, like could they have shown her like grabbing onto like the doorknob of the TARDIS and tearing the doorknob off and that becoming the sonic screwdriver because she kept talking about how nothing was in her pockets and that could have been there. I don't know.
Like but the doorknob regenerated into a sonic. That'd be kind of fun.
That's what I'm saying. Like part of the TARDIS becomes this. But what didn't, it just felt weird for have like an A-team montage to create the sonic screwdriver.
Right.
Gotcha. Right.
That felt off to me, I don't know, maybe that'll be like an anomaly for the season and everything else will feel like normal Doctor Who.
Well, speaking of normal Doctor Who, what do you think this season will bring us, Steve?
I think popcorn and unicorns.
Oh,
I just wanted to rhyme. I don't know. I think it's going to be, it's kind of like, I hope it's not like just a heightening, like, you know what? We have three companions now. We haven't had that before. Although John and I just saw a 40-year-old episode of Doctor Who with Adric and two female companions. So there were like three companions. But Nyssa and what?
Tegan,
that's right. I kept wanting to say Tegan and Sarah, but I said, it was Tegan and Nyssa.
They weren't singing, Steve.
I know. Three companions is new for me. So I'm hoping that's not just like a weird thing that they emphasize. Although one of them is like a granddad. And I don't know if they've had any like really older companions before.
Well, not so much.
I shall discuss. Today I'm going to talk about Jodie Whittaker, who is the new doctor, because we have a lot of new characters on the show today, I'm just going to focus on Jodie Whittaker.
Because she's the main new character.
Yes. So like, you know, we do have new characters. We have Bradley Walsh, who plays Graham. We have Tosin Cole, who plays Ryan. And we have Mandip Gill, who plays Yasmin. Again, I'm going to talk about them in future episodes. So anything you want to say about like the new cast who's not the doctor, Janice?
I really like Mandip Gill. I really am a fan of hers. And I say this knowing what comes next. I feel like she's really strong female companion. Graham's cool. Olderly, you know.
Olderly?
Olderly, yes, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
He wants so much. He's so earnest.
And
I'm not also, all that he, into Ryan.
Sorry, from what I saw, he wants a relationship with Ryan.
Yeah. He brings a different energy.
So. Yeah.
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 So I'm going to assume he's kind of like Rory's dad.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, actually.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Not a Doctor Who or not a Harry Potter alum that we know of. He's not. Okay. So Jodie Whittaker, who was actually named after Jodie Foster.
Oh.
I did not know that.
Because you know what? As of this recording, she's about to turn 40 years old. By the time we drop this, she will have turned 40. So she was born in 1982 when Jodie Foster was already an adult.
Was Jodie Foster an adult?
At that point, yeah.
Was she middle-aged?
She would have turned 20. Because I just watched The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane, which was Jodie Foster filmed when she was 13, and it came out in, I think, 75.
Yeah, so she was about 20, and about 10 years from, you know, when Jodie Whittaker was born, her namesake will have, like, you know, will win an Oscar.
It just reminds me, I need to rewatch Silence of the Lambs.
Not a feel-good movie.
So what?
A well-done movie, not a feel-good movie. I just happen to remember that Steve and I first encountered Jodie Whittaker when we watched Attack the Block. Yeah. I don't think she wasn't even the doctor when we watched that movie.
Oh no, that was a long time ago.
That was quite a while ago.
Vega. The only person
we recognized
from it was Nick Frost.
Yeah, Nick Frost, who actually portrayed Santa Claus in an episode of Doctor Who.
That's true.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I think maybe by the time we watched Attack the Block, it may have been announced that John Boyega was going to be in the Star Wars movie. So it might have been like, wow, this guy's going places.
Maybe.
Yeah. And yeah, so he was, but like prior to Doctor Who, Jodie Whittaker was mostly known for Broadchurch. And
yes.
So there was like three series of Broadchurch starting in 2013. And I'd say like Broadchurch, great show. First season's great. Second season's good. The third season's like, yeah, it happened.
Okay.
I've seen the first season and I loved it. The first season's great.
You know, again, like a little diminishing returns. But Broadchurch also has like a bunch of Doctor Who alumnus going on in there because David Tennant shows up. Olivia Colman, Academy Award-winning actress Olivia Colman, where she played an alien in an episode. Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Arthur Darvill.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Yes.
When did Olivia Colman play an alien?
Matt Smith's first episode, when the teeth, the giant eyeball aliens were in
She didn't have any dialogue.
Right. Okay. Because she talked through the dog. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. Okay. Sorry,
it was nuts. It's like, this is future Oscar winner Olivia Colman, and she basically has a non-speaking part.
Yeah. She talks through the dog.
Yeah. So Rory is also in Broadchurch, as is Eve Miles, who plays who, Steve? From Torchwood.
Oh, Gwen.
Yeah, Gwen. Gwen, who was also in like the one of the early episodes of the reboot.
Pity the Gelf.
But like there was like a whole bunch of Filch was in Broadchurch, but there was a, you know, I think there was like literally like 50, at least a dozen people.
Is it the British Law and Order? And that was like everybody who's in it.
Kinda. Well, so Chris Chibnall, who I will speak of more in again future episodes.
Yeah.
But he's the showrunner of Broadchurch. And then when it was announced that he was going to take over as showrunner of Doctor Who, Jodie Whittaker apparently told him, like, she thought, I'd love to be a villain on the show. I want to be a villain so bad. He's like, why don't you just kind of audition? And then,
she gets the fucking lead. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I want to be a villain on there. But then she ends up being the hero, which is actually really cool. But then, so Jodie Whittaker also, she is like very in, well, prior to like, you know, her retirement from the role, she kept a copy of the costume at home. So like, you know, if she got a call from someone saying, it's like, hey, would you show for this children's thing? She'd show up in costume. She was like, just, she loved being Doctor Who and loved being Doctor Who for the kids and stuff, which is adorable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is. Now for people who are like, are actually in the episode, that, you know, may not appear later. Now, Sharon D. Clarke, she plays Grace.
Yes.
Okay. She was awesome. Wouldn't you love to see more of her? You know,
I like, love Grace.
Yeah. So in 1986, she was 20 years old with her first credit. She was in The Singing Detective. It was that miniseries starting Future Dumbledore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They redid that with Robert Downey Jr. and I think Mel Gibson.
Yeah. But like, really? She played a nurse. Foreshadowing. And remember, future Dumbledore 2, Michael Gambon, was also in an episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah. Shark one at Christmas.
Yep. So clearly she's a working actress. She had like a bunch of credits. The thing that like delighted me is like her spouse is named Susie McKenna. You go, girl. It's June. It's Pride Month. Hello, my Grace. So now Samuel Oatley, he plays Tim Shaw. It's actually, if you're, in case you're curious, Steve, his name is spelled TZIM-SHA.
Oh, no, you.
I had to look that up.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was Tim Shaw.
Yeah. Did you have captions on, Steve?
Oh, I always have captions on.
Yeah. Whatever I downloaded didn't have captions.
So, she said Tim Shaw and he said Jim Shaw or whatever the fuck.
That was fun. Now he's mostly like a stunt guy, but remember earlier on, earlier seasons or series, Steve, where I tried like incorporating something called like, you know, people who have appeared in Doctor Who, the Doctors and the Bill. I forget what it was. Like, it was, I was trying to do like a fuck, marry, kill thing, but it was like, whatever. So he,
this you've guy tried was, to do a lot of things with British filmographies.
Yeah. So he appeared in the trifecta. He appeared in the Doctors. He appeared in the Bill. And now who? Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
But again, I'll talk about. No, I'm going to speak of Chris Chibnall later, the director of this episode, named Jamie Childs. I'll talk about later also, because again, like, too much stuff to talk about. Now, this episode, I don't know if you noticed, Steve, were there any opening credits?
No, there were not.
This is one of the first and only times they ever did no opening credits.
I did notice that, because the end credits theme was a little different than the normal one.
Yeah. Yeah, so that actually is the, well, we'll see on the next episode. So spoilers for the new rearrangement of the theme. Mm-hmm. Now, Jodie Whittaker actually did wear Peter Capaldi's costume.
So oh, that was like legit his costume?
Legit his, you know, one of his costumes. So, you know, I'm sure they had multiple versions, but like, you know, I don't know if they like sized it to her, but yes, or they're that close in size, but yeah, so.
I don't know. So if you have a thing about women in men's clothing.
Now, clearly her regenergy saved her from that high fall, I'm assuming.
I assume that the regenergy can do magical things.
I'm sure it can. But also, too, it's like, you know, they don't always have that post regeneration amnesia. Now, they actually did start that kind of in the old series when it went from like McCoy, when or remember we saw Six, Colin Baker's doctor, wanted to choke his companion.
Yeah, that was,
he was some... having more of like insanity rather than amnesia.
I don't know, there was some domestic violence issues in that old episode we watched. But yeah, that was one of my that was one of my questions, is during the regeneration, is there always like a period of adjustment, to put it politely? Is there always a I don't know who the fuck I am moment?
In the newer episodes, it seems they do that more, like, okay, even like, so in the TV movie,
it's more of a new who,
newish. Yeah. Denise, have you noticed that?
Well, it's definitely a thing in new who. I don't know that much about old who, so it's absolutely a thing in new who.
They even did it in like the TV movie with Paul McGann, because like, you know, when Sylvester McCoy's doctor gets shot and like, you know, McGann like wakes up in the morgue, he doesn't remember who he was, and did like another one of those like hospital things where he grabs someone else's clothes.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically it for this. Again, I'll talk about like future people in the future, but today, you know what that brings us to, Steve?
John, you will talk about future people in the future.
Yes. But today we're going to talk about our unsung crew member of the episode, Steve.
Ooh.
Ooh, I know. Delish. Ooh. Today I'm talking about Sheena Buck-Tawansing.
Okay.
Sheena Buck-Tawansing. She's the script editor.
Okay.
Okay.
Good for her.
And now, like, you know, her, like, you know, I was going to say her repertory, her repertoire. Thank
her
you.
CV.
Her CV. She worked on one episode of Broadchurch. So I guess there's a little history with, like, you know, she knows the boss.
Yep.
She was also a production assistant for 26 episodes of Dinopause. I think like I think it was a children's show in 2017.
Like Dinosaur Paws?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it was probably like, you know, like not like Muppet Babies, but like maybe
D-A-W-S.
Like, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. D-I-N-O-P-A-W-S.
Okay.
In 2014. And she has worked on 17 episodes of Doctor Who. And we she's the latest one, like the this year's holiday episode, she worked on that as a producer. So she's still working.
Yeah.
And, you know, all that good stuff. So unsung crew member of the episode, Sheena Buck-Tawansing, we salute you.
Yes, I have some of our friends have a four-year-old who was so into dinosaurs, especially some weird Disney kids show that involves like kid dinosaurs. I don't know. And Dino Paws made me think of that.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Is it like,
but then again,
Dino Baby?
She also got a black bicycle and named it Darth Bicycle.
So and she's four?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. This kid's going to grow up being like a little bastard.
Yeah, maybe.
One can only hope.
Yeah. Yes, yes. That's very true. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
Anybody reach out and touch us?
I had three people from work who emailed me about their laptops that I have to take care of during the summer between school semesters. But other than that, no one has emailed this weekend.
That's cool. So, but yeah, people can always reach out to us. And it's like, we've already talked about
who at gmail.com, drunktruewho on Twitter, srdawn on Twitter. And I don't want to give my Twitter handle because I am weirdly private just once every few episodes that I'm on drunktruewho.com/Denise.
True. And Denise, how can people contact you again?
Hey. Was one episode when you gave your Twitter handle, Denise.
Did you really?
Did I?
Yes.
I honestly don't really give a shit, to be perfectly honest. I don't really give a shit. My Twitter handle is uncertain simile. You can send me a message.
That's yeah. Fine. You don't care. Like you
I do not give a shit.
You don't even tweet that, you know, that often.
No. I just read.
Maybe you have an uptick in follower.
Follower, yeah. I have like 12.
Yeah,
which I think is pretty good.
Say half of them is us, probably.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, totally. Hey, anything else about this episode we watched today, people? Before I move on.
I like Jodie Whittaker as a performer. Yes. Enjoyed the companions. They were well-established characters, and the thing I always notice is whether or not it was like a villain who was introduced in like 1967 and who I'm supposed to have a lot of like background knowledge of, or right, it's someone new. And this felt like a new villain. Because I assume they didn't have a villain with like teeth embedded in his fucking face in 1982.
Gross. So gross. Not really much of a spoiler, Steve, but when Chris Chibnall announced that he was going to be the showrunner, he said for his first series, he was not going to introduce any of the past. So get ready for a whole bunch of new villains and stuff.
Oh, Steve. Cool. Okay. Yeah,
that
cool.
Actually is kind of cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So no Jokers, no Green Goblins, just no Lex Luthers, just new villains.
No Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
No Statler and Waldorfs.
Not so much villains, no Sammy so much Eagles. Just jerks, but yeah.
You know, well, you never know. But okay, so we have that to look forward to. So the next episode we're going to watch, Steve, yes. is called The Ghost Monument.
Oh, okay.
What is The Ghost Monument about, Steve?
Well, since they're floating in the middle of space, I assume that they're going to be picked up by a passing ship that just sees them as cargo and resources that they can be exploited by. And so this is, I don't know, let's say an intergalactic KFC where they make, you know, human burgers. This KFC isn't burgers, but whatever, like fast food nonsense.
Are the people who like driving, are they Vogons?
Sure, god damn it.
That was like the three of us.
You're right. I did a hitchhiker's guide thing. Fuck. Okay, so they get swept up in a garbage run and dumped on a garbage plant, a garbage moon. And they kind of like blend in with the people who are like sorting out the recyclables. And what was the name of the episode, John?
The Ghost Monument.
The Ghost Monument. And they slowly realize that they are being worked, that the people who are working there were like formerly dead. And so they go and they realize that it's a weird afterlife thing and that they can actually set these people's spirits free. And I don't know what this nonsense is.
Okay. All right, Denise, knowing exactly what the next episode is going to be about, what do you think this is going to be, using nothing of your knowledge of that, it actually what it's going to be about? What is it about?
I think it is about ghosts. Ooh. More than monuments. I think it's going to be about ghosts.
Okay.
I think it's going to be about a series of ghosts from some planet. We talked about Dumbledore playing the Christmas guy. I feel him coming through this episode.
Will Grace be there?
And I wish Grace would be there, but I don't think so.
What about the blonde lady who sang to Dumbledore?
I want Grace to be a ghost. Yes. Okay. Let's say Grace is a ghost. Please come back as a ghost because I love you, Grace.
So being Grace a ghost shows up. Is being a ghost is just like a sequel to be, you know, your human life.
Right. Right. Yeah. So she finds the TARDIS and she holds it there and she's like, hey, dudes, come on, you know?
Come join me. So maybe right. Like when they took those DNA bombs off and like put them in the thing, when like downloaded everything, maybe her essence is out there, kind of like how River Song's essence is out there, how Kylie Minogue's essence was there for a while.
That
was on that the Christmas Titanic episode, Steve.
Yes.
I remember. I'm just gonna assume that Jodie Whittaker goes to visit Wilf, and Wilf just looks at her and says, "Who the fuck are you?" And then goes about his
day. But you know what? Hey, one last thing I was gonna say. For this episode, I'm sorry, I was like just thinking. You know, it's like they really fleshed Grace's character out and like made her like, you know, so lovable and everything, just to kill her.
Well, right? That's manipulation. The thing.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen that in a bunch of TV.
Like, it was almost like Doctor watching an episode of like Top Chef, and it's like you know the chef who starts talking about how he misses his family.
Yeah, and like, or Denise, you would get this like Barb on Stranger Things. You know, you just
exactly.
You introduce someone who has no overtly negative qualities, just so they can get killed off and motivate the rest of the characters.
Was that Winona Ryder's character?
Sure,
She's the only woman besides. Millie Bobby Brown, who's on there that I'm aware of. So,
okay.
Anywho, so so let's see if what Steve says or what Denise says actually comes true.
Right.
So, until the next time, Denise, thank you so much again for showing up and like being our guest.
Yeah.
Been able to do it for the Christmas episode, so
yeah, it's okay. Timing didn't work out.
It happened.
And just Denise
said, I want to be there for Jody's first episode. Girl power. you're like a Who girl, not a Spice girl. Yeah, you're the cinnamon that makes the doctor taste better.
I'm sorry, John, but cinnamon is a spice.
What?
Okay, is it really,
John? Yes. I know you're trying.
Well, I am trying, believe me.
So everyone hard.
Steve, I'm always trying Steve's patience. I know. Surprised he's stuck with me all this time.
He gives me an excuse to drink.
There you go. But again,
John thanks, drives me to drink.
hey Denise, you know, before we let you go, anything you want to you know, is there anything you want to like publicize? Is there anything you want to get out there for like people to, like, you know, download or anything? I listened to like so many like podcasts, like our guests. Anything you want to like push?
No.
Okay, great.
No, I think Stranger Things is good. So
yeah,
there you go.
Same.
I'm also enjoying the Obi-Wan show.
Yeah, same.
Right. I haven't seen the newest episode. I'm also enjoying The Boys. So there is a lot of TV for you to go watch right now.
Yeah, baby Leia. I like her.
I like her a lot.
Oh yeah. And the last several episodes, we've been pushing Everywhere, Everyone, All at Once, sort of thing.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which so absolutely top notch. So good.
Go see it. It is out on like video now and is out on Blu-ray in awesome. A couple of weeks. So you can like VOD that bullshit right now.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah.
Good. Yeah. Oh good. Okay. Well, until the next time we meet, save me a jujube, fam.
What?
I'm still trying out my, like, you know, hey, it's a new series, Steve. I'm trying out a new.
But you did the same bullshit you did every time, like inspired by Siskel and Ebert.
I didn't say save me a jujube.
You did. Literally, this time you did.
Before.
Okay, fine. But you said, like, save me the aisle seat or save me some popcorn or whatever bullshit.
Anyway.
Denise, we might need you on more than just Christmas episodes.
Yeah, we'll need you to continue mediating for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But until then, I've been John.
I've been Steve.
And you've been
Denise.
Yay.
Yay.
So until then, bye.
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 It's like around the same time that when they did like that's
Henry Mancini. So
oh, Henry Mancini did that?
No. Yeah, Henry Mancini did the
Sanford and Son.
Sanford and Son. Okay, yes. No, I'm thinking of What's Happening. He did What's Happening.
Henry Mancini did What's Happening.
Yeah, Henry Mancini did What's Happening.
Quincy Jones did the Sanford and Son theme.
Still.
Oh, really?
that's almost as wow.
Yeah.
The man who helped Michael Jackson create multi-hits. Wow.
Multi-hits. Like multi-pass.
Multi-pass.
Multi-hits. Multi-hits.
Oh, my God. Henry Mancini did do What's Happening. Jesus.
Wow.
I know. He did a lot of that shit.
He probably liked to get paid. Can't say I blame him.